I don't even know what I did this past weekend, man. This weekend has been a blur. This week has been a blur.
I can't believe tomorrow... Well, tomorrow is Friday.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
No, today's Thursday.
Holy crap,
you
man.
You dumb-dumb.
Jesus Christ. I'm so out of it. So just lost.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, for real. Me too. It's been quite the year.
Yeah, and it's the 16th. It's already been quite the year. Quite the year.
What's that meme? It's pretty funny. It's like, man, this week has been quite the year.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot, you know, with...
What up, what island, master? Yeah, what's a cracker, man?
You're a cracker, man. Dude!
Why are you racist, Dave?
Yeah.
Racist Dave.
Yeah.
Is racist. He really hates everybody.
Name beer mug. I like that song.
We were just talking about how this week has just flown by, and how this year it's been hell of a year already, and it's only
it's like December already, right?
Coming up on Monday morning, we announce Acoustic Christmas.
I was telling Dave, I don't remember what I did this past weekend. I know I didn't have any gigs, but I don't remember what I did at all.
You did Hollywood Park.
Yeah,
the great golf experiment.
Great golf experiment.
You know why? I wasn't there, so you guys just...
That's why people suck at golf, because you weren't there?
I'm just saying, someone to run the event...
In theory...
What, are you going to hold the putter for them, Dave?
In theory...
I would show them how to do it.
Oh. It was a fine contest. Now knowing what I know, I would be like, hell no, we're not doing this. But in theory, it seemed like it would work. It would have been a fine idea. So at the end of the Hollywood Park Casino gig, we were giving away the TV, and we have these raffle tickets, and we were calling people up to putt.
Yeah.
And whoever sinks it in the hole, the small hole, by the way, would win the TV. Right.
Yep.
And so Beer Mug has to leave at a certain time. I think you had to leave at 5?
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, because he had to pick up his kid. So I'm spinning tunes, and all of a sudden, Andrew, who kind of is in charge there, was like, Omar, you got to take over. I'm like, take over for what? He's like, Beer Mug's got to go pick up his kid. And I look at my watch, and we have already been doing the contest for a good 20 to 30
no
minutes.
No way!
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was the total.
So then I take over, and I start calling out names, like, super fast. We're trying to get through it. Flash forward another 20 minutes. No winner. And people started picking up tickets off the floor and, started like weaseling the way in there. And I was just like, as a host, if I'm hosting it, I can't be a jerk.
Right.
So I was like, all right, let's go. So we ended up going through everybody who had a raffle ticket, and nobody ended up winning the TV.
A guy with no arms came up.
Yeah.
You put it in your mouth.
Yeah,
just
spit it out.
Wow,
so yeah, that was
dirty.
That was quite an adventure, but speaking of Hollywood Park Casino, I hope you guys join us. We actually just got the paperwork yesterday.
We did.
About some shenanigans that we're going to be doing, and we are all ready for February 2nd.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Oh, so I'm not Mr. Sports.
Right.
Is it looking like there's going to be a decent Super Bowl, guys, or what's the deal?
Here's a kind of fun fact if you're a really Super Bowl head, if you're an NFL nerd.
Which I am.
If the Chiefs...
I know what Dave's going to say.
Then say it.
If it's Chiefs and Packers, that will be a replay of the first Super Bowl ever played.
Exactly. It's... Well,
was it a good one?
Yes, Bart
Starr.
Packers
won.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
No.
You know where it was?
Packers won.
That's what... Rewind the tape, please.
Did you say that?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No. Are you kidding?
He literally just said that.
Oh.
I just said Packers won.
And I was agreeing with you.
Packers won.
That was weird.
What I was like,
hell?
Wasn't Vince? Isn't why
is
it's Dave, called the Vince Lombardi Trophy?
Is Dave stroking out?
I have no idea.
Where was
stroking
it played,
something.
Omar? Where was it played? What stadium was it played in?
Austin.
Coliseum.
I thought you said Austin.
No, it's the Coliseum.
Why are you screaming, man?
Because he got it wrong.
That's funny. My bad.
Jeez. But that's pretty cool, man, because it's the 100th year. This is the 100th year of the NFL.
Yeah.
So Super Bowl 1 was Chiefs and Packers.
Yeah.
Oh,
and Super Bowl 100 could be Chiefs and Packers as well.
It's going to be Chiefs and Niners.
For our sake, let's hope it's the Niners. Because,
Oh, what up, Ken? Ken knows.
So, we could talk about the stuff that we got going on because we got the email, right?
I don't have an email. What email are you
referring to? I thought you were part of the email. Did you get the email yesterday?
It's the Packers, dude.
About the run of schedule?
Yeah.
No. Why did you get that?
What?
Did they just leave me out? Am I cut out already? I missed one and that's
okay.
it?
Well, I'll give a brief overview. We're going to be kind of like, you know, doing our normal B-team shenanigans where we're going to give a ton of tickets away to Kara concerts and events. But on top of that, we're also going to be giving away a DrinkWorks machine. You know DrinkWorks?
Yeah.
So we're going to be giving that away with the contest, and we're also going to be giving away two TVs, I believe. We're going to be giving away one TV at the half, and I think that one's like a 40-inch TV, and then at the end of the entire game, we're going to be giving away a 55-inch TV.
So two TVs.
Two TVs,
whatever with that 45-inch, just wait for that 55, right?
Yeah, but we still don't know if we're going to be selling tickets or it's going to be first come, first serve. We don't have any of those details. I think they're going to iron out those details with Hollywood Park Casino after we know who's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But the B-team is definitely going to be in the house, and it's going to be a great time. And anything else that I leave out, Muggs?
Yeah, for that, one of the games we'll be doing, we're going to make a penny into a Dixie cup that is across the entire length of the casino to give away a TV.
Somebody's going to get it right away.
By the way, I have something to tell you guys.
Uh-oh.
Andrew stopped by. Andrew, the guy who does it. And apologized. He's all like,
he shouldn't apologize.
He's all, so that didn't work.
Andrew's so nice. He doesn't need to apologize. Nice, yeah. He took a shot at the game.
And I said, that was the worst, Andrew. And I slapped him on the hand. And I said, no.
I slapped him on the peepee.
Yeah.
I have all the details.
Well, I'm glad you guys do.
There's a couple of things that we got to tweak on that. But I think it's cool that we have a DrinkWorks machine.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hooked up, I guess. It's
try it.
People could try it. Yeah. So that's cool. And let's see, what else? What else is going on there?
Was that weekend.
So
you were talking about your weekend, and somehow it spun off to that.
So I did that on Sunday. On Saturday, and then the wife took the kids shopping Sunday morning, so I just kind of chilled out Sunday morning, and masturbated. Yeah, exactly. Finally had some alone time, and then I caught up with them for lunch, and we had some pizza, and I ate too many carbs, and I was just tired, and I was just like, went home and took a nap. Man Omar in full effect, man.
Damn.
But I think Dave had a pretty exciting weekend.
Well, yeah,
Vegas for a baby shower.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Listen, it was one of the most relaxing, chill trips I've ever taken.
You got a lot of sleep, you told me.
I did get a lot of sleep.
Sometimes, like, there's no better sleep than hotel room sleep.
But I wasn't in a hotel. That's the thing.
Oh, really?
I stayed in an Airbnb in a condo in downtown because my friends were staying there. So we're like, oh, we'll just meet up. It was her baby shower. And we literally, when we landed, we were so tired from Friday, you know. And we landed, watched a couple of hours of TV, chatted, you know, caught up, and they said, all right, hey, well, it's 12:30, it's late, let's just go to bed. And we all went to sleep. I literally woke up at 10 o'clock the next morning.
Oh, that sounds like heaven.
And then the next day, what do we even do? We just went out and chilled and more TV.
Did you hang out in downtown Vegas area?
Didn't even go out.
No.
You know, uh-uh.
Oh, wow.
I had Rhonda with me, so the most I saw of downtown Las Vegas was walking her to go poop.
Most spoiled dog on the planet, by the way. Rhonda.
Why?
What were you telling me? That he was comparing having Rhonda, like, with me having children, Muggs. And I was like,
That was another talking point about I want to bring up later.
Oh, you'll bring it up later?
Yeah, I'll bring it up later. But it's almost identical.
Okay. So tell me.
No, but I got to say that, remember Muggs was giving his money-making picks about how you wanted to put money on it?
We were doing something. We were actually at Hollywood Park Casino, and he forgot to give you money, and then he hit you up, right?
Yeah.
What happened?
And I told him, cause as I was there sitting on a couch watching TV, I said, I'm not really near a sports book.
Yeah.
So he's like, how about for tomorrow? And I was like, maybe. I'm going to a casino later tonight.
Right.
And then I at the casino, I was like, nah, I'm not going to
do that. So tell me, what the outcome might have been.
It would have lost. The ticket would have lost because I would have told Dave to pick all four teams.
The parlay,
I hit San Francisco.
Okay.
Did not hit Baltimore.
Okay, then it would have been Done, right?
I hit the Chiefs.
Okay.
It would have been done, yeah, at
yeah,
Baltimore.
Right.
And I Seahawks lost.
And so how much were you going to bet?
100.
Like, yeah. So you would have lost 100 bucks now.
So you should just give me the 100 and or 50 and then
I'll take the other 50.
Yeah, and then we call it even.
That sounds fair.
Yeah.
This sounds like a scam to me.
I mean, I saved you money, so
yeah, I mean you did.
That is true.
Yeah. No, it's 100% true.
Well, I think you owe Dave some money, Muggs.
Yes.
And me a finder's fee just because I'm here.
Just because we split everything. Yeah. So you guys give me enough that I can split it with Omar.
Dave, tell me a little bit about this bogus baby shower that you're only a part of the last hour.
All right.
And why did they decide to just include the guys for the last hour?
Okay, so
that's very strange.
Our friend was awesome and said, you know what, we're gonna be playing all these diaper games and she's gonna be a first time mother. So
okay.
So, you know, her friends and family threw her a traditional baby shower. Not the, yo, we're going to party and just drink. It's okay. A traditional baby shower. It was...
They had, like, wine and fancy cocktails.
Yeah, they had
sort of
cheese
stuff.
And all that stuff. Okay. And you know...
That sounds awful.
So I mean, for us, yeah, because...
Even for Krista, she must have been like,
no,
what?
I mean, it's one of her best friends, so she, you know, was having a good time with her.
So
you
she
know.
Accepted it
and
for
everyone,
what it was.
Yeah, and everyone there is nice, so everyone was getting along, you know, meeting new people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they were doing, but they wanted to spare.
And it's important to mention that they live in Vegas.
Las Vegas, yes.
Yeah, they live in Vegas.
Correct.
So Dave went out there to be with their friends.
With their friends and
like
the family. It's not
they
like
lived
we went
in LA and they decided to have it over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we hung out with a couple of friends who the girlfriends and wives were with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the baby daddy.
Right.
We took him out to Vegas.
To a strip club?
We should have. I didn't even think about that. But we had about 4 hours, and they're like, then come over.
Okay.
So what we did was we just wanted to go, like, kind of get drunk.
And if I remember right, yeah, one of the
wishes
orders was like,
to get drunk.
Okay.
Yeah. So we start out, like, at 11 o'clock throwing shots down at this bar at the Cosmo. We go get some good food, more shots, sake, drinking, and then we go to Topgolf and then spend like 2 hours at Topgolf.
That sounds like fun.
So much fun.
That sounds awesome.
And you know, we were having so much fun, and then we get the call like, hey, come on down now. And so.
And that was it at a house?
It was at a house, okay. Yeah. It was a house like way outside the strip, just so for reference, it's like, it's way like about 20 minutes away.
Okay.
So jump in an Uber, get it there, and you know, everything is pretty much done. All they do is serve cake and we eat some candy, take a picture, and then. Boom, out.
So
I had to go take a
there,
flight.
So you were there for the cake.
For cake, yeah.
By
cut the
way,
cake and open the presents. Open the presents because the baby daddy was there.
I think on Monday morning, I was running a little late. I think. I'm not sure how, but I ran into Dave. Like, one of the first things I ran into Dave. Just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and, like, ready for the day. And I was just like, I expected you to be a mess.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, it was so weird. It was almost scary how easy it was because I flew back. And it was such an easy flight. And I got home, put everything away again, proud of myself. I did it again, even though it was a carry-on.
You're a big boy.
I know. I did two things. I did two adulting things. It was awesome. Put everything away, watched some TV, went to bed at a normal time. I sobered up by then, you know, and it was all good.
That's crazy.
Felt good.
What about you, Muggos? What'd you do on Sunday after, you know, picking up your daughter on Saturday?
I played softball for the first time since I broke my collarbone.
How'd that feel?
Awesome.
So is that you have no complications? The healing is great.
It's
Do you have any
healed.
Limited motion or anything?
No, I have all my motion back. I feel like these little like tinges every now and then, but that's normal.
Yeah. So eventually you'll be 100% down the line.
Yeah.
By the way, my shoulder still hurts. Now
you should get a check.
From, yeah, it's still like
from a
mug didn't catch me.
Handstand?
Yeah, it still pops a little bit, and then when I play basketball, it hurts a little bit. But the Theragun's taking care of it.
You
so
should,
I'm good.
You should do it, yeah. Man. That video's hilarious, dude. I'm so bummed you don't want to share it.
You'll never see it. You'll never see it.
I love it.
You know, Theragun is a nickname for my penis.
Really?
Then get on my shoulder.
I thought it would be called like
Flaregun.
Hold on.
Like
like what?
Like, I was going to call it the hummus shooter, but I was like,
the hummus shooter.
What's that one, like, meatball?
What?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know.
God damn it. Matzo balls.
Yeah.
I was going to call it the matzo balls. Yeah, I'm going to cut all that out. Anything else that we want to talk about? We talked about Hollywood Park Casino. We're going to be there at the Super Bowl. We talked about weekends. Do we have anything else?
Well, I wanted to bring this up to you guys.
Yes.
I don't know how you guys do it.
Do what?
So, be parents.
It's a very, it's a, it's a, every day you're learning something new and you have to keep at it and it never...
No, I don't care about any of that. What? It's just worrying, like, every day worrying about, like, I'm sure you guys have taken your kids to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It sucks.
How nerve-wracking is it?
Like, very, especially if you don't know. Like, say if you're going to take your kid, if she has, like, a high fever or something, uh-huh. That's not big, like, such a big deal. But if your kid is acting in a weird way and you don't know exactly what's going on, that's super scary because they literally have to do all these tests. And you're like,
so
you would
freak
out. That's
where I'm at right now.
You don't have children, Dave.
Excuse me. My doggy, Rhonda Ruffy, at Rhonda Ruffy on Instagram, started acting weird. So we took her in, and now it turned into this big thing. We just had to take her to a freaking dog neurologist on Monday. Yeah, and it's freaking us out. So I don't know how you guys do it with kids, but at least the kids, you could tell, like, hey, what hurts? Does your tummy hurt? Is it your eyeball? Is it your nose? Is it your butt? What is it?
My
dog is just there shaking, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And it's like just sad. It's so scary.
Since you brought this up, because Muggs, are you an animal lover?
Yeah.
Okay, Dave, obviously, you love Rhonda Ruffy, right?
I do.
Now
you don't.
No. I'm a. You know,
let him die.
I had pets growing up, but you know, I didn't really take care of them, and my mom and dad really didn't take care of them. We talked about this before. Yeah. They were outdoor dogs, yeah, for sure. And I never really had that responsibility, and still don't. And I you know, I want to bring a pet into our family eventually, but not right now. The kids are too small, and I know if I would be taking care of the dog, I just don't have time. So. My question to you guys is, if you guys have a beloved animal like Rhonda, and you know you have a dog, don't you, Muggs, or no?
No.
So you guys have a family pet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is the number that the veterinarian comes back to you and you say, nah, put that dog down?
Oh, man.
It's a reality, dude.
Well, luckily, I have doggy insurance. So it's taking care of a lot.
That with that said, Dave, like, dude, what if the insurance, the operation or whatever is $100,000, and the insurance only covers so much, and they come back with saying, you know what, you have to cover $20,000. $20,000. Is it puppy leg time?
It's alternative medicine time.
Alternative medicine. Okay.
Yeah. I don't give up.
Okay.
I mean, obviously,
but you're not going to fork out that.
You can't do that. You just can't. Like if you get doggy cancer.
Yeah.
Alternative medicine time.
Okay.
Not going to give up the fight, but I mean, you just can't because, you know, look, you can't ruin your life.
You know what's funny? That didn't even cross my mind at all. I would just put the dog down. I would just be like, sorry.
The dog broke its leg. Oh, wow. It's going to cost so much to reset it.
Yeah.
Nope. Put it down. Yeah. You're like, no, but it'll be fine if it's a broken leg. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay. Nope. Bye-bye, doggy.
Didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah. No, it'll definitely be alternative medicine time. And, you know, it's like even this neurologist was pretty damn expensive.
But man, yeah,
luckily
you're also in a different you have a different life than I do because, you know, with my life and how busy I am, I wouldn't have time to search out all that alternative medicine, I don't think.
Well, luckily I'm near a great veterinarian office, so
okay.
So I have good doctors and, you know, it's a little more expensive, but that's part of the reason. But
Muggos, what about you? Is there a number?
Have you had an animal?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've had a pet, I guess.
It's a hard question.
It is. That's why I brought it up. I think it's good. Because mine is like $20. Like, I'm not going to spend $20.
Well, here's the
thing.
Put
that dog down.
Here's the thing. If I could spend the money to save the dog, I'll do it. But if it's literally monetarily out of my budget.
Like, say 10 grand.
$10,000. Like, for me, oh, man. Like, no, 10 grand's super high. There's no way. $10,000, I'm out. $5,000, I think I'm on the fence. I think I'm on the fence at five.
See, I think you say that now, and then you're looking in their eyes, and you're like, I just want to save you.
Yeah.
I just want, like, no.
What if this is, like, there's this, like, new piece of DJ gear I want to buy, though? I'm like, I'm going to spend $5,000 on this stupid dog. I need some new turntables.
You're like, trust me, kids, this turntable is going to get you another dog, a better dog.
Send you to college.
Yeah. I mean, you can always tell them that they're going to go, you have to give it away and go to the farm.
No, I totally get what you're saying, because I definitely don't have that attachment.
It's different when there's a living being in front of you. Like, it's easy to say, like, if you don't have it
You're totally right.
You
know, totally right. Yeah.
But, like,
never had that. Never had that.
Yeah.
The one thing I do have is regret of how I treated my, you know, quote unquote pet when I was little, because we didn't walk it, didn't do
but
any,
they didn't
anything.
They didn't eat it back then.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like my dogs stayed in my backyard and that was it.
That was
they
it.
Came
that
in when we let them come in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, rain or shine, you're in the backyard in the little your little doggy house.
All right. So Dave's Rhonda Ruffy is just like our kids, Muggs.
Exactly.
You have it tough, Dave.
I'm so nervous. I've been so I'm staying strong, little guy.
You know exactly how it is to be a parent.
I do.
All right,
I do.
all right, let's get into it. Come along now. Take a ride with the BT. Let's get together and take a look behind the scenes. Talking about Kevin and Bean. Come on, let's start the show. Everybody grab your Vaseline. The B-Team. Yeah! The B-Team. The B-Team. Oh, that's right. The B-Team. Baby! That's right. This is the B-Team, episode number 90, if you're counting. My name is Omar
Khan.
Whoa! What's up?
That's 10 away from our big... appearance somewhere where we haven't even started working on.
We gotta start planning that out. My name is Omar Khan.
Is it?
Yeah, something like that. Imaging director of Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. And so we have a lot of good stuff here. We're gonna do the
I'm Dave. How's it going, guys?
I'm Beer Mug and I'm not racist.
Hey. okay, for this B-Team episode, it's full of goodness, I'm not even going to tell you because
you don't
so
know.
Good, it's so good.
Because you didn't have a plan.
Here we go with the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about us being so awesome and our cameos.
We're cameo kings!
We are cameo kings, and listen to my intro for this bit. Cammy! That's it.
Love it.
Yes.
Standing O.
So, Dave.
Standing cameo.
Tell the people what we're doing to help out the fires in. We're not helping the fires in Australia, but the relief, I guess, efforts. We're going to donate some of the money or all the money, right, to charity.
Yeah. Well, I guess whatever we get booked for, a part of it we donate, and a part of it Cameo takes and donates from as well.
Cool,
So it's double sided. Awesome. If you hire us and you just search for me, Dave Sanchez, and then you get Beer Mug and Omar along for the ride for the low price of $15, and we make some funny messages for you.
Absolutely. And
like, we put our wholehearted effort into these messages.
I have some examples here.
Oh,
so yeah,
God.
Totally. We do good work, and we're gonna prove it right now. But I also want to mention this, since Cameo is doing this right now, even if you're thinking about a birthday present for somebody, you know, later this year, or you know, a Mother's Day present or whatever it is, do
Arbor
it right
Day.
Now.
Yeah.
You know, Arbor Day. Do it right now, and then we'll record the message, and you can just hold on to it. Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So this is one that we did over the break. I think before the break, like just before Christmas.
Yo, what's up? This is for Monica.
This is from Lauren. She's saying Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's, Monica. We miss you and we can't wait to see you soon.
Why are you doing that?
I don't know. Talk to Omar.
Yeah.
Hi.
That was DJ Omar Khan. I'm Dave, the King of Mexico. This is Beer Mug.
Come down to the 100th episode. We don't know where we're going to do it yet, but be there.
Yeah. And Lauren says, thanks for letting you. What? Who's sleeping on someone's couch?
Yeah.
But stop being a bum. Give her some money.
What's up, Monica?
Bye.
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 Yeah,
man, that's quality cameo stuff right there.
I got
there.
5 stars for that, guys. We got 5 stars.
And by the way, we have like 3 reviews already.
Oh, we do.
So good.
Oh, I
so
didn't
good.
Even read them.
Let's go to the next one.
Yeah, Erica.
Hey, my brother's name is Erica. Oh, Erica. So that's kind of creepy. By the way, it's very important to mention that you get one take with us.
Yes.
It's not like we're going to, like, you know, retake this and think, oh, no, this is all
and
one
by the
take.
Way, this is all video, too.
Yeah,
so we're all looking around.
Yeah.
This is legit.
Yeah. So it's kind of creepy that you're a girl and your name's Erica. And I don't know what Beer Mug's doing back there, but I like it.
I'm
He's
doing
moving
the
back
Erica.
And forth. Are you doing the Erica dance?
But Erica, thanks so much for getting this cameo. And thanks so much for being a b-hole.
Absolutely. You know what? We love you. We
love
you so
Erica.
Much. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We hope that you get everything you want, and we wish you a Happy New Year, and keep listening to the B-Team. Download us on radio.com and tell your friends and all that jazz.
You ready for this, Erica? Boom. You like that?
Yeah, you do.
What did you do, Mug?
Bye.
showed her my nipple.
Yeah, so sometimes there is some nudity involved, but it's b-hole nudity. It's all good.
And that one, 5 stars.
Absolutely.
And said, thank you for the nipple.
By the way, yeah, and nobody, like Dr. Drew's not going to give you, like, by the way, Dr. Drew's like $100.
Yeah, he's 150 bucks. You know what I mean? Makes bank off of it.
Only dude, like, hey, I'm Dr. Drew. You should really
You have
cool.
syphilis.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Were you touched as a kid?
Yeah, he's probably a downer. Here's the next one.
I have your problem.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Becca, this is from Farhad. Merry Christmas
and a Happy New Year, you filthy animal.
I just want to give you props and love because we are the best podcasters from the B Team. I think that's good.
Thanks for listening. We really appreciate you and hope continue to listen in the new year. What did I say? I just said. And we're not doing this over, so I'm just going to roll with it. Yeah. I like what Muggs is doing in the background for you. I think he's doing like a Becca dance.
Let's all do it.
Becca dance.
And tell your friends to download the BT podcast.
Or don't.
Farhad!
Bye-bye.
Listen, where else are you going to get a Farhad
no
and Becca dance
way.
Remix?
Becca dance. And I love how I talk normal, you talk normal, Beer Mug just screaming away.
He's the best. All right, this is the last one.
Katrina, Merry Christmas. And if you don't like this, Glenn, Merry Christmas from the B-Team.
Yes, it's me, Dave, the King of Mexico.
DJ Omar Khan.
And I already introduced myself, Beer Mug.
And we want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
What? And don't forget to tell your friends to download the B-Team podcast.
Rolling.
Ow, that one hurt.
Merry Christmas.
Ow. Whee. Bye.
Bye.
We should probably maybe give him, we should refund him.
We should have done a take two on that one. Oh, well. So hit
Five
us
stars.
Up on Cameo. How could they find us?
Just search my name, Dave Sanchez, or at KROQKOM.
And yeah, so we're giving away all the proceeds to charity, so because that's cool. So that was Cameo.
I like the pew.
Love it.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Was that Cameo for Word Up?
No.
Everybody say.
Why don't I know that song?
It's from the Beverly Hills 2, I want to say.
Oh.
Check it out. It's a great tune. Tell me, can you feel it? The heat is on.
Heat is on.
The heat is on.
So how does it say Cameo?
Oh yeah,
it's a jam, dude. So good.
By the way, more bands need to have saxophone, like a cool sax.
I agree.
Tenor sax.
I totally agree.
That'd be dope.
I agree.
That's my jam pick has a saxophone.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Love it.
Oh, hey, before we get to afros, can I get your guys' honest opinion on something?
Sure.
Can we talk about, like, can we do a So That Happened, an impromptu So That Happened?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
So that. I don't have a cue.
Oh, you don't have a cue?
So,
yeah. All right. So that happened.
Okay.
All right. So Omar.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And Beer Mug decided to not show up to work one day. And that day was yesterday.
Yeah.
So as we're doing all this stuff, I realize, we need to do a breaker. And the breaker is the promo you hear at the end of, you know, throughout the day on the station of, hey, tomorrow on Kevin in the Morning, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So I had to do it yesterday.
And how'd that go for you?
For your first time ever?
Not being a real production guy.
Yeah. First time ever doing it. I had to call Muggs and go, hey, where are the parts? I don't know where any of this stuff. So he gave me a 5-second rundown of what he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I did one. And I want your honest opinion.
Hey, party people. If you missed Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen, we found out that Jensen isn't the only person who can rap on the show.
We can make war, make babies. Back when I was nothing, you made a brother feel like he was something.
I mean, define rap. But also tomorrow, have you ever thought about narking on your nanny? Or even someone else's nanny? You can do it via an app.
And we found the most disgusting pizza I've ever seen. And we're ready to tell you about it.
Plus, your tickets to Coldplay in the HD Radio Sound Space. We'll see you Thursday.
K-Rock.
It's fine.
Yeah, you didn't put any processing on the voice, but...
Yeah, yes. There's a little,
so
like,
that
know,
was that, and that was the thing that bummed me out, was the voices sounded... Yeah.
No, but I mean, as far as like the music underneath,
I thought the music might have been a little too low for Kevin in the beginning. And I was like, But at that point, I was an hour in. I was like, I can't deal with that.
In
I
a pinch,
so much stuff.
In a pinch, that was fine.
That's fine. That's fine. It was great. Thank you for doing that, by the way, you know, for us being lamos and not showing
See,
up.
I'm going to bust the Daniel Tosh and say, nah, nah, boo, boo. Anything you can do, I can do too.
Boo!
Suck it!
Yeah, but how well can you do it? Right.
Well, the second time, I'll process it.
That's true. All right, let's get into some AFRO. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. 365 days a year, except, unless it goes down.
Except now where it's full and
you know
people are complaining.
Funny, you guys?
Is it full?
Yeah, it's full.
No, I cleared it this morning.
Okay, well, it was full yesterday.
Oh, it was? Are you serious?
Someone was all like, hey, get it. Tweeted us like, hey, the Afro line is full, which I didn't think it could because
it shouldn't have been full. That's weird because there was only like 54 messages when I checked it this morning. That's weird.
Interesting.
I'll look into it. All right, here we go.
Kevin, why can't you play Bean Makes Us Guess right? Like, I understand you're trying to be funny. And they are hilarious, but try to play. Use your noggin. You got it in you. You can actually...
That sounds like a regular Afro.
Did you pull the right file?
Let me see. We'll play this. Maybe not. Let's see. We'll play this next one.
Hey, this message is for the B team.
Oh,
I was curious. Do you guys like gelato? It just seems like pretentious ice cream. I'm just curious.
Do you guys like gelato?
Pretentious ice cream.
That's funny.
You know what's funny is I liked gelato in New York. Here, not so much.
There's some good gelato place. There's a gelato place on Hollywood Boulevard.
There's one on Melrose too. That's huge.
There's this gelato place in Irvine. No, not Irvine. Wow. Where is this? It's by Doheny Beach. Somewhere down there.
That's way far down.
Yeah, it's way down there, man. But it is so good. It's so good. Like,
yeah, it's creamy, but it's like I'd rather have ice cream. Pretentious ice cream.
I don't know, man. This gelato is pretty bomb, man.
Have you ever had limoncello?
No.
Which is kind of like a liquor, but
no,
it has nothing to do with gelato.
No.
But it just sounds like it.
So I have had gelato. And there's nothing worse than gelato.
It's the name of my band. Gelato.
So I like good gelato, I guess. But
so yeah, you do like gelato.
Yeah. Maybe so I'm pretentious.
You do like the pretentious ice cream.
I'm a pretentious guy.
So gelato,
commitment. The commitment.
I dig it.
At first, I was like, what are you doing? But man, it paid off.
You know why I like that? Because now his throat's probably going to hurt and he won't talk as much.
How dare you, Dave? Yeah. I could have gone longer, but Omar made me laugh.
That's what she said.
Hey!
All right, here we go. Next one.
Hey, this message is for the B team. Do you guys like crepes? I don't know, like pancakes? I think they're a little pretentious, but just curious.
Do you guys like crepes?
I do have crepe fillings.
Yeah,
really? They suck.
What?
Yeah, they suck.
Oh,
no,
man, dude.
Yeah, they suck.
I had a crepe in Amsterdam once.
Oh, I had a crepe in Amsterdam. World
I'm
traveler.
I'm just saying, dude. It was like
was it a special crepe?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
But it was huge, and it had like this not like straight whipped cream, but this white creamy thing on it was bomb diggity, man. That was like so good.
It falls into breakfast category and breakfast sucks, so.
And it turns out I am pretentious.
Yeah, you are pretentious.
How about you, Muggles?
I love crepes.
They're so good.
There's this good crepe place on Hollywood Boulevard.
There's actually a crepe uh-huh. place on Universal City Walk.
There's this crepe place down by Doheny. I just can't forget.
It's next to the gelato place.
Yeah, exactly. Next call.
And it's for the B team. Hey, Jonathan from Irvine. I love how much joy you guys get from the Mr. Weatherby impersonation, but I feel like I'm not the only one that doesn't know what he actually sounds like, so we don't get why the impersonation is funny. We get some clarification or just address this, like acknowledge that we don't know what he actually sounds like. Thanks, BG. Squish.
Squish. Yeah, I was going to pull some audio of him, but we don't have any audio of him being on our show, right?
No, he's never on the show.
But, dude... Here's
what he sounds like.
It's like exaggerated just by a bit, by the way.
Yeah.
Because like when he gets in, so
especially, so we just had an interaction with him before we recorded this podcast. And, you know, he's a guy who spreads so thin that he's like really talking, having three conversations at once all the time, it seems like, you know, because he's handling so many different facets of different radio stations, right? For example, you know, he's here today. I think he's flying out tomorrow. Next week, he's going to be in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And then
where?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Whatever. And, you know, I mean, the dude's everywhere. So when you get in a conversation, by the way, he is one of those guys that when you get in a conversation with, he is really talking to you. He makes you feel, he has that weird ability that many people don't have.
He cuts you deep.
So he knows and he respects you and he's able to absorb what you're saying, and it feels like he's not halfway paying attention. When you're talking to him, he has your full attention, even if it's only for 10 seconds. And I think that's a little, it has to do with how sometimes he gets so intense about certain things, you know? So we're talking about production, you know, so he's like, oh, okay, oh, we're having a meeting? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to introduce it in the meeting, and then we're going to go, so, and that's how the conversation goes, and then he moves on to the next thing, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Like, and then he moved in, like, you know, then he moved over to whatever Dave had to, you know, address with him. But yeah, so that's kind of like where it stems from, but it's exaggerated,
it's,
obviously.
It's a play on, and it's also a play on Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah.
Just take away the zzzz, and that's him.
I finally saw that movie. Yes. I wanted to punch him in the face, man. It took me right out of it. Not that I enjoyed the movie by any stretch, because I thought that movie could have been edited down to 15 minutes. That was way too long. Guess me, ask me how many sittings it took me to get through it.
How four. Many?
Four.
Good.
How many?
Five.
Five, yeah.
It took
five.
Me a while. It took me a while.
Oh, my God, dude. It was terrible.
You want to know how long it took me?
Yeah.
I stopped it three times, but I had enough time where I stopped it, did my laundry, did two loads, and put my clothes away, and still had time to sit down and finish.
Oh my God!
And you know how long it takes me to do laundry.
Yeah,
it took forever. But,
Sebastian
Maniscalco,
he was terrible.
I'm not gonna blame him because that role was supposed to be like the guy who's like the New Jersey Mafia guy.
But it's so
he thought he was it, and he wasn't.
Yeah,
he
got, I don't know.
Spoiler alert, he gets capped, bro, because he was trying to be like, oh, yeah, I'm the man. But
you have, he plays a real guy. He's playing a real guy.
Well, they're all real people, right?
Well, yeah.
But
yeah.
For the most part,
but for me, it's like you have Robert De Niro. You have
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci, Al Pacino. Yeah. These are the greatest actors.
Harvey Keitel.
Of all time.
Ray Romano.
But he was good at what he did. This guy was just terrible, man. I'm like, dude, you could tell the caliber of actor he is. You know, he's a comedian, I guess. You know what I mean? It just took me out of it and wanted to punch my screen.
Action Bronson didn't take you out of it?
He sucks.
We got some good coffins over here. You want the fat one? Guy. You want the green one? What do you want over here?
Yeah, that was lame.
That took me right out of it.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm like, but if that's the delicious guy?
Yeah. But I did like Ray Romano as kind of like a scumbag, you know? Yeah. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, he's good.
So have you, do you drink on the job?
Hey, Deborah, can you get me a coffee?
That was my improv, by the way.
Oh, man. He's good at everything he does, man. I love Ray. There was this movie called Paddington. I think it's called Paddington.
The Bear?
No. I think it's called Paddington, and Ray Romano's in it. Excellent movie, man.
Oh,
excellent,
but there was
movie.
Something
it's
I saw,
so
man, that he was awful.
Oh, really?
What's it called? It was a TV show. Shoot. It's with some dude, Brad. What is it?
Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yes, that one.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
You bastard. Okay.
I've never seen that show.
Next call. You haven't?
No.
Oh, man. There was a phase in my life where, because my wife and her family are huge Ray Romano fans, and they love that show to death. So every time we would go to their house, it was on. So I'd just watch it nonstop. Yeah, it was crazy. All right, next call.
Hey, Omar. On Bean's sad dog story that you guys were talking about on the B team, do you remember that the guy from Scotland that called in and told Bean to fix his goddamn life?
Mm-hmm.
He called in because Bean told a very, very sad dog story that was very depressing to everybody, even if you were walking home in the cold rain of Scotland. And
we covered it.
It happened a couple days before that. I don't know when that happened, but maybe you could find that and work backwards from there. So, Tulsi Gabbard guy here, but I'm sober this time, mostly.
Hey, I appreciate the call. And, you know, just because you called in, that's why you made the Apple line. I mean, that's why you made the podcast. But, yeah, we covered that. So some we had a couple of people email me and actually call the Apple line. And you can find that on episode 4. Okay. Next call.
Hey, this is Matt. I'm the Portland B-Team podcast listener.
Portland.
And if you ever want to do a B-Team live show up in Portland, Oregon,
yeah,
I can guarantee you at least one listeners. I was wondering if I heard Kevin do a cutoff of the Red Hot Chili Peppers Under the Bridge a couple weeks ago. And I was wondering if they were in on the joke, because it seems like they're a pretty prominent K-rock band, and it seems like they get cut off and made the butt of the joke quite a few times. So, anyhow, just wondering if they were involved in that. It's August 27th. So I figure,
I want to cut
Merry Christmas
call
to all the b-holes out there. And, yeah.
Merry Christmas. Shows you, it's mid-January and I'm barely getting to your call from August. the Red Hot Chili Peppers are definitely not in on the joke.
Was he talking about the rest of the studio in on the joke, or
no? I think he was talking about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Everybody else, Kevin just does it on on impulse.
Yeah.
Like he's like, oh, he wants to get to the bit or whatever. And let's be honest, every Red Hot Chili Pepper song on this station has been played thousands of times.
Yeah, he always says like, oh, you know how this ends. Yeah,
exactly. So he just does it on impulse. You know,
yep.
Cuts us off. Let's move on to the next thing. There you go.
Hey, B-Team, I was listening to episode 79, and a caller asked for the sad dog story. What I'm thinking it might be was a couple years ago, Bean did a opening, like the thing.
How long? I need to start keeping up with these, man, because I promise if you call the Afro line, you'll make the air, you know?
Yeah.
But at least, she's still on the air, even though we're talking over it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so remember, this is episode... If you care to hear that bit.
After the sickle penis story, I called the Afro line and I said, I thought that Bean sad dog story was the worst opening of the show ever. And then Kevin came in and dropped the mic. So it for sure was before then. I think like maybe a month or two before then. I'm not really sure. But that's what I think the caller was referring to. So it was definitely an opening to the show that went on forever. Everyone was laughing.
Just like that call.
Cutest story ever that this couple was going out every single day looking for this dog. And everybody was just laughing at him and thinking it was a horrible story. All right. Squish.
Squish. I'm just kidding, Afro caller. I love you. All right, next call.
Hey, Omar. It's August 26th, and I have pooped 666 times.
Wow. Prove it.
Metal.
Metal.
I have pooped metal. You know, like six, you know, like Hail Satan and stuff. Because that's kind of cool. Brad.
We have his last poop call, but we'll get to that probably, in December.
Wait, he's done? He stopped calling?
I think he stopped. Yeah, I think he called on New Year's Day with his, total.
Total for the year.
Yeah, I think
Nice.
Oh, man, I think somebody emailed me a production piece with this guy, too.
That'll be...
I gotta look into my archive.
Yeah, that'll be episode 100 when we get to that phone call.
Yep. All right, next call.
Hey, B-Team, it's Antonio. You know, the guy who's always talking about Dave, the King of Mexico.
What?
Hold on a second. Hold on just one second. Am I hearing this correctly? Dave, you're sending people crap by yourself? Like, it's just you finding, the stuff and putting it in a package and slapping a stamp on it and sending it out to us? If this is true, I take back half what I said about you, okay? I can admit when I've been wrong, and I take back half of the stuff that I said about you. So, big ups to you, man. Half respect, all right? Half respect.
Yeah, I heard from a lot of b-holes who got their Christmas presents, Dave.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. But, you know, I'll even give it to you that you give me half of your half, because I do borrow Beer Mug's assistant, Old Man Ruben, to help me out and send some stuff out. But I gather everything and write a little note to every single b-hole, which, by the way, if you sent one in and you haven't gotten it, just hold tight. You know, we still got stuff coming.
Old Man Ruben moves slow.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes him a long time to get a package out. So, yeah, so it's still happening from episode 30 or whatever.
Yeah, whatever that was, man.
Wow.
Yeah. So long ago.
He was.
Never do that again.
Never.
Next call.
Hey, guys, this is for the B team. Dave was just talking about how much he loves Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. Just wanted to give you a suggestion. Go watch Shaun of the Dead. There's a great scene at the end where they fight zombies in the tune of Don't Stop Me Now. Just wanted to throw that at you. I hope you do it. Back to you later, guys. Swish.
Now, Dave, tell people your thoughts on Shaun of the Dead.
Okay. Okay. One, I hate that movie.
Oh, my God. You're so wrong.
But two, here's why. I remember why I hate it.
Okay.
Because when the first time I was doing the TV watching thing, the movie came out.
Mm.
Or it didn't come out. It was playing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so boring that it was putting me to sleep. So that's why I hate it. I realized I never finished it because I was like, I would have heard the song.
Are you weren't serious? Falling asleep because you were watching TV for 27 hours in a row?
Yeah, or 100 hours, yeah. But that's why I hate it, is because it was so slow in the beginning, I never even finished it. I just stopped and said, nope, I hate this movie. Moving on. So I was grumpy.
Really? Mons, what's your take on Shaun of the Dead?
I don't really remember it.
No. It's fine. It's definitely not bad.
It's not part of the trilogy, right?
I don't know what the trilogy is.
They have a trilogy, the three of them.
Yeah.
With the bar and the cause they're funny.
They are.
Like Simon Pegg and
like the
Nick
Hot
Frost.
Fuzz.
Yeah, well, Hot Fuzz isn't part of the trilogy.
Okay.
But there's, I don't know, man.
I don't know what the trilogy is.
Yeah, it's something. Look it up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. And like I say, you call it up, you'll make it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get into a member of this. And this is spectacular. And I listened to it and it's super hilarious.
Remember this. It's time to reminisce.
So if I'm not mistaken, this is, I think Dave was still a phone screener at this point. I don't think he was a producer, Dave, at the time. And here you're going to hear Mr. Ralph Garman just lambasting Kevin and Bean for trying to call another country, because Kevin and Bean calling other countries were just notoriously, I thought they were funny, but Ralph's takes was that they were always so bad because they were always the same. You know, it's always Kevin Bean, do you speak English? Can you hear us? So here you're going to hear the great Ralph Garman just mock Kevin and Bean to no end, but listen for the end when Kevin and Bean finally can't get anybody.
Oh, this is an all-time great.
All-time great, right? So this is the great Nepal incident.
Yeah.
Where they were trying to call Nepal the country, and finally they tell Dave, just go over there and, you know, pretend you're
get ready. Stand by. You're going to be the hotel guy.
Right. Yeah, and then, okay, so what's running through your head? So at this point in your career, were you just a phone op?
Just phone op, yeah.
Okay.
And Ralph was like even prior to the on-air, it was like, we got to stop doing these, guys. Look what's going to happen. And it kind of plays out on the air. But so Bean told me, you know, Kevin Bean told me, just stand by.
Okay.
Like, stand by and we're going to go to you.
Yeah.
You know, so I was in my office ready to go.
Yeah.
And they made the calls first
to
actually Nepal.
Yeah.
And the magic happened.
Yeah.
You know?
It's insane. I'm not even going to blow it here because I want the B-holes to listen. So please enjoy. This is, it's labeled Calling Nepal on Naked Woman Farming. Naked Woman Farming, yeah, I guess.
The story was people were farming naked so they could attract the rain.
Why wouldn't you want to call that country? Come on!
And for the record, this was prior to all the law saying we can't cold call people.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is why we used to do it, like, able to call international.
We're going
to
drop this in.
Drop it.
Kevin and I are decided that we're going to call Nepal on this fascinating story that we'll tell you about in a moment. And Ralph bursts in and says, please don't do this. And we say, why? It's fun when we call foreign countries but and check up on the news.
It always goes the same way.
How?
Someone will answer the phone. Well? And you go, yes. Are there naked women in your fields farming? Are there naked women? Click. That'll be the first call. Oh, let's call someone else then. Hello? Yes. Do you have naked women in your fields farming?
But, Ralph, they have naked women in their fields farming.
Oh, I understand. I'm telling you, the communication will not be strong either end.
Here's the story out of Kathmandu, Nepal. Female rice farmers are plowing their fields at night in the nude to please the rain gods during a dry spell in southwestern Nepal.
And they figure that he... want to know about that?
Oh, I want to know about it. I'm saying you won't get us any information about it.
The god of rain appreciates female nudity.
And Kevin will say, no, are there naked women in your field? But maybe you should take this one, Bean. And then Bean will say, hi, we're calling from Los Angeles. We're calling radio station. Do you have radio there in Nepal? And then Kevin will say,
what's your favorite station?
Are there naked people in your field? And we'll get that for about 6.5 minutes and then play song commercials.
You understand. No, you forgot the big grand finale. Give me the big grand finale.
That's right. Yeah, then there'll be a big... Music bed underneath there. And we'll all applaud right. How weak we were.
Okay.
We will celebrate our lameness.
Let's call Kathmandu. Did you know that Kathmandu is 12 hours and 45 minutes ahead of us?
And about 150 years behind us.
Isn't that odd that they're 12 hours and 45 minutes ahead?
I think I'm going to Kathmandu.
You forgot the music.
Comedy tie-in pop song. I forgot that part.
See, we got more going on than you give us credit for. We're prepared for this bit, and as Kevin mentioned, he speaks fluent Nepalese, or whatever they speak over there.
That's right, Nepalese.
Are there naked women in your fields?
Okay, good sign. Phone is ringing.
Okay. De La Annapurna Hotel.
Oh, here we go.
De La Annapurna Hotel.
Ralph, prepare to apologize, my friend, that's because right. You have been wrong before.
We will accept your apology in just a moment as we find out the behind-the-scenes details of women, rice farmers, doing it in the nude.
Phone is ringing.
But you forgot about this one.
I forgot about that.
You forgot about they wouldn't answer.
No answer. I forgot about that part.
It's a hotel. Well, they're busy.
Yeah.
They're checking in people, and they're ready, getting ready for the night.
Sure.
Come on. Everything's fine.
It's what, like 9 o'clock there?
It's quarter to 9. It's not 9. It's quarter till 9.
Okay.
So odd.
And by the way, Ralph, we have other phone numbers. It's not like we're putting all our eggs in one basket.
I'm sure of it.
Okay. We can call back if this one doesn't work.
Try the Radisson.
We're already on to the second
number. Here we go. Here's the high level of success rate that this bit always has, once again, coming through.
What if the person that answers the phone is very familiar with the fact that women are plowing in the nude and is very fascinated by it and sheds a lot of light on it so that we can all understand a little bit more?
Ever happened once?
No.
like every time we call and ask about the monkeys in India, they go, well, there's no monkeys
here.
There
aren't any monkeys.
And we don't know what you're talking about.
We got Kevin's great part, too. Do you speak English?
What's wrong with asking that?
Well, the first thing they say, hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
You forgot about that.
What was that?
I don't know. Hello?
A rhesus monkey answered the phone.
Is this a robot? You forgot about the busy tone, too.
At what point do I get the apology for having been doubted about this segment?
We're a long ways from that.
You are playing on the train tracks, and I see the train coming, and you're two deaf kids from the home on the hill.
Don't you understand that there are women that are plowing nude?
I do understand.
Because they honestly believe that that's going to make it rain.
I understand
that. Man, this is... week.
All right, hold on. This one's going to work, though. By the way, there is a backup plan that we haven't gotten to
yet. Oh, good.
Yet,
I don't know what that is.
As where Ralph runs into the other room and pretends to be the Nepalese guy on the other end of the phone.
I'm not participating this time. I'm not contributing to your delinquency.
Hey, Dave, King of Mexico, get ready to be the guy in Nepalese, or Nepal, in a minute.
All right, this is a good, strong phone ring. I think this one's going to help us out. This is going to be good.
You feel good about the phone ring?
I do.
Okay. I'm with Ralph now.
it sounds like it's powerful and impactful.
Like grasping at straws. Oh, good phone ring. Good phone ring.
Come on, you guys. Pick up the goddamn phone.
What are you doing?
Did you call these places ahead of time and say don't answer?
I am purely an observer.
Oh, Ralph screwed us, Bean.
I have risen above your little fray.
You called them and you said don't participate. It's just going to be a dumb little radio show.
You know what might happen? What might be happening right now is they're not answering the phone because they're out in the fields plowing naked.
See?
see.
Sure, that's what's happening.
En masse, they're all out there as a society plowing.
Bring back the music.
I think I'm going to Kathmandu. That's really, really where I'm going to.
Plowing the nude.
Done this job.
How come we didn't have you sing
it? Plowing the nude. And have no idea that this is always the way it goes.
All right, let's try the first one.
Have you learned from no.
Yeah, try that one.
You have no sense of experience.
Don't be so negative.
How many numbers are you going
to
try?
You need to be positive, Ralph. You need to think positive vibes.
I did that for the first 5 years. And then year six, I woke up.
Positive vibes. That's what we thrive on here at the Kevin and Bean Show. This is all going to go really well in just a second.
As far as I'm concerned, Ralph is killing the bit with his negative energy.
See, that's the problem.
That's it. It's my,
they're
it's
not
my
answering
bad.
Because of your negative energy going down the phone line.
How about all the other times you've called countries where I wasn't being negative?
Other problems. You were being negative in the other room, maybe. I don't know.
You ought to be able to call Nepal, by the way. What's the deal with this?
Well, apparently, why can't we call?
Apparently you can.
Their tourism business must be suffering. The fact that no one picked up the phone there at their hotels.
This is where Mount Everest is in Nepal, right? I mean, they have millions of visitors. It seems like they got to have a phone that works. Come on.
Have you climbed Mount Everest, sir? I forgot that's a question that Bean would ask.
That's right.
Are there nude women on Mount Everest?
Can we play this from William Hung?
Time after time.
This is Time Staller.
I've done my sentence.
We're doing ours.
I committed no crime. And bad mistakes.
Give it up. That's what I'm saying.
I'm with Ralph now.
Give it up.
I made a few.
All right, one more call.
You are not the champions.
All right, try one more time.
You are Ralph, not winners.
Ralph, we're going to make one more call, and if this one doesn't answer, if we don't get somebody on the phone, we will apologize to you because you will have proven your point that we never should have attempted
they
this.
They think that it's going to cause rain. Do you understand that?
But I understand the story,
Kevin. Plowing naked.
He answered the phone, Nepal.
I made Ralph laugh.
Answer the phone. That's what Dave, the king of Mexico, answered.
Dave, you don't answer the phone the country that you're in.
I don't know.
What big phone booth in the center
you don't
of Nepal?
Know. When people call you, do you answer the phone, America?
Well, you know, you figure you're calling somewhere.
There you go, ladies. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you just tuned in, we got the exclusive report on plowing naked in Nepal.
He answers the phone, Nepal.
I'm getting out of this business.
Right. I'm right behind you, pal.
I apologize.
I'm going to open
a
hardware store.
That was funny. So good.
I never heard the end of it. I still
so
don't hear the
good,
end of it,
dude.
Man.
Nepal. Oh God, I don't, Nepal.
Who was I thinking?
You're nervous. You don't really do on-air bits. You know what
no.
I mean? And it's one of those things, dude. No, I get it, but yeah, that's hilarious. Nepal. Say hello, Nepal.
Dude, we got to go through all my
so good
my bits when I filled in for Ralph.
Oh,
and then,
that's a good
and
idea.
And then go through when Muggs filled in for Ralph.
That's a good
how
idea.
How much better
that's
he was at
idea.
It than
yeah.
I was.
Yeah, Muggs was kind of a natural at that.
Do you remember my Tom
sure.
Cruise?
No. Did he just keep saying the same thing over and over?
No. And that's the problem.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
They're like, aren't you going to say her name a lot? They're like, oh yeah, hey, Kevin. Because, you know, I was trying to copy Ralph with all this stuff. Oh, we got to find those.
Okay, we will.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing is a little Rodney piece. It's only about 3.5 minutes long. And I don't know where this came from, but it's labeled Rodney's Rants. And it's pretty good. Ask me if you guys want me to stop it at any point.
All right.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. That's brand new from The Verb. The Verb, doing Love is the Noise.
Nope.
The Verb?
That was really good, too. I like that. Truly Cat's group there. Now, what Cat has to do, she has to play on her show. She's got to play Buck Brothers or Parka. Well, those are my bands. And Airborne Toxic Event is her band.
Toxic.
I played her band, so it's only fair that she plays a Rodney band.
That's how it works.
Her show.
Mm-hmm.
Cat Corbett. She literally discovered this band I'm about to play. They're called the Airborne Toxic Event.
Toxic.
Airborne Toxic Event.
Toxic.
They're going to be at Borders tomorrow night.
Borders.
Hollywood. And
Borders.
And whenever you go to their shows, they give out these CDs.
It's like Rodney?
Three CD set with a lot of songs on them. So you got to check out. Here's one of the bands. If you saw the album cover, you can imagine that girl on the cover of that. And the single of Standing Next to Me has the same girl in a pretty amazing looking moment. You should check it out.
What do you mean?
I found out what her name was, but it didn't have her name. I thought it was Kate Moss, but it's not, I don't think.
This is on
it
the
has
air,
a photographer man. Listed, and he's got a webpage. His name is Sam Hopkins.
I'm having trouble following.
Check out the girl on the Last Shadow Puppet. She's quite amazing.
Okay. Yeah.
But they go on at 7:30. Get there early.
So
everyone's going to be there. Cosmo Topper. You name it, all the cool bands, pop bands, they each do 30-minute sets.
Okay.
They're going to be at Bordel tomorrow, or tonight, today, tonight, at Monday.
What?
Anyway, listen to Roggy and the Rock Show. Unusual music, but it's good. I love it. Play the newest of the new.
All right, that's enough. I just wanted to play that to get some...
What do you say? It's weird, but I love it.
Yeah.
It's unusual, but I love it.
Muggos, you were his board op for...
A year.
A whole year.
Yeah.
Man, that must have been something.
It was awesome.
That was crazy, dude.
It was fun.
How did you guys do it? Like,
so for me,
you worked the morning show too, right? No, you didn't.
So no.
I thought you guys did. Like, you didn't for a while, but
yeah.
Well, I only ran his board one day, and then I was that was it. So I think it was just when I was barely starting to run the board. And you know what? It was
practice.
It was like the first week. No, I Gene came to me and he was like, "Dude, I need you to run Rodney's board." And at that point, I was like, "Hell's yeah! You know, any kind of board op work, you know, I would take." But flash forward to working on the Kevin and Bean show. Every Monday morning, it was my job to get the profiler and rip his show. And on Monday, the last thing you want to do is listen to that guy because he would literally put me to sleep. So I would I'm so glad Bean's dead because now I don't have to do that, you know, because like it was Bean, the guy who was like, I have his archive, Bean's drop archive.
Yeah.
There's so much Rodney on it. It's crazy. Like I would imagine at least 15% of all his drops, maybe more, were just Rodney drops.
Jesus.
Just a ton.
I bet
just
he could do like an automated conversation with that's all Rodney.
Oh my God. All right, that was a good BT.
Hey, all right. Yay.
Yeah, man. So
all
good.
Right.
So good. 323-520-AFRO if you want to call the Afro line. And you call, you'll make it on the podcast.
Guaranteed.
Omar@caroq.com if you want to, have something that you'd rather email rather than call. Please go ahead and do so. This is the B-Team.
The B-Team. Yeah! The B-Team. The B-Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B-Team.
Baby!
Hey, Muggs, did you hear how Omar was like stalling just so he could hit the post?
I love it.
He does it once and now he's all alive.
He's like,
oh yeah, you could call the B-Team.
Hey.
Boom, hits it.
It feels good. Hey, you're on the weekends. Don't you miss doing it live?
Yeah.
There's something about live radio, right?
It's fun.
There's something about live radio.
You should come in and
cool
do it
recording.
Live.
We'll
do it live.
It's something about live radio, man.
Ooh, what's the bonus track for today?
So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2020 was just unveiled. Unveiled or unveiled? Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, the Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex are
going to
be inducted this year.
Do you guys care about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Like you know how in baseball or football, any sports, you're like, whoa, that guy's a Hall of Famer. Like, do you see any of these people? You're like, yeah, that's a Hall of Fame. Like,
I don't care for it in sports, and I don't care for it in music. It doesn't matter to me.
At least with sports, it's like, whoa, these guys are way ahead of the field. And in this one, you're just like, well, okay, 25 years later, all right, I guess we could put them in because they were popular for a moment.
But these, I don't know much about the Doobie Brothers or T-Rex, but Nine Inch Nails, Whitney Houston, Depeche Mode, and the Notorious B.I.G. had a significant impact on music.
Who
really?
Cares?
Yeah, really?
Like, what did they have? What did they do?
They put out a tremendous amount of great music.
They put out good albums, yeah.
Yeah.
So 25 years later, then they go, oh, okay. Now you're allowed, like, you two, yeah, they're all gigantic. Like, I don't even know, like, I guess the bigger... My bigger issue is, do we even need a Hall of Fame for music? Because then you're saying, like, all these other great artists who have inspired other people, you're not good enough. You're not as important as these people.
I don't think they're saying that you're not as important. It's just this is the creme de la creme.
Yeah, but at least with sports, there's, like evidence. Like, there's, like, you could see it. You see the numbers. You see this. With this,
you don't think
just,
they go by record sales and stuff like that? And,
I don't know, because then if it's going by record sales, then Justin Bieber's going to be in 25 years. You know what I mean? Like, is he a Hall of Famer?
Okay.
You know, the one-hit wonders who sold Smash Mouth, I'm sure, sold Gangbusters. Are they going to be a Hall of Famer? You know, Offspring, who are great. Are they going to be Hall of Famers? Why not? They sold more than probably some of these people.
Interesting.
You know, I don't know. I just have an issue with, it's not even an issue. It's just, it doesn't like when I hear, oh, you know, Nine Inch Nails made it, I was like, cool for them, like, I guess.
I love Depeche Mode. I'm just glad to see them succeed.
But look at Radiohead.
I never really even thought about it.
Like, Radiohead has it right. They're like, we don't care. Like, we don't care. We're not going
to
show
Radiohead
up.
But Radiohead, just, they're like always being dicks just to be dicks, I think.
And by the way, Radiohead's a band is like, yeah, you had maybe three great albums. Mm-hmm. And then the rest was like, meh. Just so like
buzzes and pops. And
yeah. Like, woo. I'm gonna start playing with my keyboard and then see what happens. Yeah. So you know what I mean? Like, I probably just killed your bonus track.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, for people who like Dave Gahan and Depeche Mode, I found this really cool interview Kevin and Bean did back in the day. So that's the bonus track. But
hey, he's a great interview, though.
Dave Gahan.
And he's
Dave
awesome.
Gone.
Very good, Dave Gahan.
Dave Gahan.
Enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah, no, Dave just wants to poo-poo
yeah,
all
exactly.
over it.
No, but I like Depeche Mode. Do you guys remember seeing them at the Shrine?
No.
Or the Roxy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Roxy was so awesome.
I remember it was only one ticket. My wife was so bummed that she couldn't, because none of us got plus ones. Yeah.
But, oh, my God.
It was amazing.
But
I think that was just right when Exciter came out, I think.
Or was it the Troubadour? It was the Troubadour, right?
No. It was
the Roxy?
It was the Roxy.
But do you remember? Yes, Exciter.
Yeah.
But do you remember their set list was so freaking good?
It was bananas.
Like, it was like everything I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
They did it, and you're just like, keep playing more.
And, like, yeah, the energy in there. Was crazy.
Unlike U2, where U2 play like way old hits and B-sides and deep cuts, and I was like, cool, bro. Like, it's cool that I'm seeing U2 at the... Look at me. Yeah. It's cool that I'm seeing U2 at the Roxy, but...
One quick funny story about the U2 show. I just happened to be... Like, U2 finished up, and they, you know, we had to be at work the next day, because I believe it was like on a Thursday, or it was on a school night.
Yeah, remember Bean flew in for it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he flew in because we interviewed him.
So I'm trying to get out of there super quick, you know, through like, you know, we have this little special passes or whatever. And Bono was in his dressing room after the show. So I just kind of like, the door opens or whatever. And then he happened to say, can you believe those with their phones or whatever, because that was like, it's like people couldn't put their phones down, man. He was like so annoyed, rightfully so, by the way. And he's been outspoken about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, mm-hmm. He's like, you know, people,
put your phones down. Yeah. I mean, get your 15 seconds and then bounce, dude. Like,
by the way, you're never going to go back and rewatch or use those 15 seconds.
Yeah,
you know
you're doing
I mean?
It for clout. Just use the 15 seconds. We get it. You're there.
You're
there.
Nobody
cool.
there has been being like, oh man, I'm going to bookmark this and I'm going to watch it over and over.
Or like, oh my God, watching this video, it makes me feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
Listen,
so people stop it.
Listen, when the My Chemical Romance thing, you know, happened, I don't know where I was at. I was, I think, in Denver already. Mm-hmm. But I watched like two stories from people, and I was like, I get it. I get their back. Cool. Moving on. So I just skipped everybody else's.
All right.
Put your phones down.
So.
But Dave Gahan's a cool dude, right?
Well, enjoy or don't, since I don't know if this matters now.
So how you been? You look great.
Thank you very much.
You look fantastic.
Thank you.
Are you gonna ask him out? No, I'm just saying, you hear, you know, Dave Gahan, all you see is the fuzzy surveillance videos anymore on the TV, and now all I ever see is, I see him on Cops. That's the only place I ever see Dave Gahan anymore. And I walk in, and he's clear-eyed and strong and smiling and happy, and you just look terrific, man. It's great.
Thanks very much.
How you feeling?
I feel very new.
Mm-hmm.
To like this world,
really?
At the moment,
man. After what you've been through, that's something. How long you been clean now?
I got clean first in like last June.
That's very impressive. It's a long
and you know,
time.
The truth of it is, it's a one day thing, you know. And I have to die, you know. And I make a decision every morning. Mm-hmm. I get up and I hit my knees and I make a decision and I basically ask God to help me through the day, help me to keep clean, keep it real simple. You know, I'm praying to the ceiling, but what the f***, you know, excuse me.
Hold on, I don't think we can say that, but what the heck. That's what he didn't say, but we'll pretend.
I'm sorry. But anyway, basically, you know, it's a choice I have to make every day.
Right.
And it's something that is going to be ongoing for the rest of my life, but being part of life is something that I really want. You know, I don't want to, there's nowhere I can run anymore. I can't run away from myself. And that's what it's all about. you know.
Let's go back to the big tours that you guys were on for so long, because a common theme in a lot of the articles about you guys and a lot of things that you guys have said is that those are just, they just kill you. Those tours just wipe you out.
Well, you know, to be honest, you know, what happened during the last tour was in the making for quite a few tours, you know, and quite a few albums. You know, it was, we were off and running with the whole, Depeche Mode was our whole lives.
Right.
You know, it was priority.
For 15 years or something.
Yeah, and...
well, you guys in the 80s were coming out with an album a year, pretty much. I mean,
yeah,
every year
you just... Yeah, and we toured, and, you know, the thing is, what happened was, I think, we just, like, let it run, and before we realized it, we didn't know where we were, you know? We didn't know who we were anymore, just as people, right. You know? And, you know, it wasn't just myself on the last tour that kind of had a lot of problems. Everybody in the band did. It very different problems, but basically the same kind of shit. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I apologize, but, you know, I'll be myself.
Right. Well, you're being yourself, all right.
Well, what are the so what does it do to you, those tours? You say you lose yourself. What is that?
Okay, what I mean by that is... for myself, it had to be everything, you know. I wanted to give everything, you know. I felt like those 2 hours that I was up there on stage, that's when I felt like I had a purpose.
Right.
That's when I felt alive. That's when I could immediately get a fix from the audience, the whole atmosphere of a Depeche Mode gig. I could stand there behind my microphone and I could stand my feet on the floor. You know, I could show off for 2 hours, and I get applauded for it.
Right.
It's a, you know, I'm a big kid in this, you know, adult body. You know,
so is
classic
the problem
story.
That the other 22 hours of the day, you're looking for something that replaces that high.
It's just the other 22 hours of the day. Yeah, it's just like, what am I?
You're coming down.
What am I? Mm. What is? Yeah, and it's, you know what? You ain't gonna get higher than that.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Kevin and I were talking before you came in. We saw you at I saw you at the Rose Bowl when you did the 101 tour. Yeah. Kevin and I saw you at Dodger Stadium. We can't even imagine what that's like when you're playing a venue like that with that kind of crowd. I mean, the crowds were fanatics too.
I don't know why I've been given this gift to be able to experience that. I really don't. And I think the big thing about it is not to question it too much. Mm-hmm. What was happening was I played the rock star. You know, I played the rock star with all the cliches and all the trappings because I thought that's what I was supposed to do if I really meant it. Mm-hmm. I now realize that I could have done both. But what I need today in my life is if I really want to give, like, from my heart, I have to be able to, like, give to myself first. Because mm-hmm. otherwise I've got nothing. You know, I have nothing. It doesn't matter if you sell 10 million albums, you know. It's all very wonderful and everything. But, you know, if you go back and sit on that couch and switch on the Weather Channel every night, you know, there's not much going on.
Hey, that's what Bean does, oddly enough.
I read an interview with you that was on the internet last night. It might have been from one of the British magazines, but you talked about watching the Weather Channel for 12 hours at a time.
Yeah.
Was that an exaggeration or were you just vegging?
Well, you know, no, it wasn't an exaggeration. It was just that it was very... you know, there wasn't too much information going on there. It was, like, slow. And, you could follow it. I didn't have to get too ADD. It was
not
just,
much plot.
I knew it was going to come because basically living in Los Angeles, it was going to be sun.
Right.
We were talking during the song, Dave, as you were telling us how this album was recorded. It took a long time to record this one, did it?
Yes, all in all, about 15 months.
And in the middle of that somewhere is when you lost one of the founding members of Depeche Mode, right? Alan left the band.
We actually lost Alan before we even started recording
it. Oh,
did you? 6 months after the Songs of Faith and Devotion tour, he decided that he had had enough.
What's up with that?
You know, I think it was happening way before. I think it was happening around when we were making Songs of Faith and Devotion. Mm-hmm. Alan put in a lot of work, you know. He put in a lot of work, and the thing is... If you're going to put in all that work, fine, do it. But then don't afterwards kind of turn around and say, you know, hey, you know, I did all this, and what do I get back for it?
Right.
There's a lot of ego stuff goes on, as we know, in these bands.
So it's bitter that he did a lot and didn't get
recognition. It just got to the stage where it was like, you know, I do all this, and, you know, I don't think I'm respected. And that's really sad, but I think Alan had to do what he had to do, you know, and...
You stay in touch. You guys obviously been friends for a long time.
The last time I saw him was just before we started recording the album. I know since then he's had a baby, mm-hmm. and you know, I think he's in the process of making his own record again, the Recoil Project. And, you know, I love Alan, you know. I mean, he was in the band with us for, what, like, you know, I don't know, 15 years or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a family, you know. This is the most dysfunctional family in the whole world, you know. But we are a family, and all the stuff that's gone on throughout, you know, it's... These are my brothers, you know, and it's, it is a brotherly thing. Sometimes you hate your brother, and it's like, get out of my face, and just, you know, but there's something there that's really special.
How did Andy and Martin react when you had that horrible summer last year? What were they real helpful, or were they kind of...
No.
No? let me just tell you, I want to hear the answer to that. But let me tell you, when one of the you were arrested twice last summer, if sounds right to me. I don't know if that is.
Yeah, one was when I attempted a suicide, and that was earlier on. I didn't. I had no idea that to try and take your own life in this state was a felony. But
well, when we heard the news that that had happened to you, it was within a few days, it seems to me, of Brad Noel from Sublime overdosing. And it was a heavy...
I believe it was the same night.
It was a very heavy time around this building, I'll tell you that, going, what the hell is going on? But
you know, it's the classic... I'm afraid it's like, there's nothing new. You know, it's the classic cliche. You know, what I have today is that I really hope that my actions now can maybe, you know... First of all, I have to help myself, you know, but... It's like what I said before, there is a choice. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier about Kurt Cobain and Nirvana and what a fantastic band that was, and it just didn't have to happen. Mm-hmm. It just didn't have to happen.
But I was curious how the band handled it and how they treated you, because we just went through this whole thing with Stone Temple Pilots where we heard rumors that they were threatening to kick him out and get a new lead singer.
Well, you know, that's a tough love thing. And, you know, sometimes it takes... You have to lose everything to really find your bottom. You know, a friend of mine, John, hi, John, he said I heard him say about, that somebody had said to him, you know, when you're in that kind of space, your bottom is like only as far as you want to keep digging, you know. And, you know, I was like banging on the concrete for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, the way it affected everybody around me, very close friends. I mean, gradually I was losing those people. I could, and you know what? I didn't want them around me. I didn't want anyone around me. I didn't want... At the time, I didn't want any help.
But did you come out here to Los Angeles?
The truth of it was, inside, I did. You know?
Right.
I did.
You just didn't know how to ask for it.
You know what? I couldn't ask. Right. I couldn't, like... It was, at the time, it seemed easier just to go with it and destroy myself rather than just pick up the phone and say, you know what? I need some help, man. I really do need some help. And that's the hardest thing to do. That may seem crazy to a lot of people out there, but anybody else who's an addict, who's in the same situation, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it still is really hard for me, but it's something that I practice at every day now, because it's what's going to keep me alive and keep me clean. And I just don't want to be... I don't want to just be sober. I want sobriety. I want to experience life, mm-hmm. and what it has in front of me, whether that's pain... It's happiness, sadness, or whatever. I want to be able to have those feelings now and be able to deal with them. And to do that, there's certain things that I have to do, you know. It's not going to be... I said last night, I was with a group of friends, and I said, it's not going to get delivered in the post. You don't just come in the post in the form of a letter and say, okay, you're better, you can get on with your life now. Mm-hmm. You've got to go and find it. You've got to go out and look for it, and you've got to go, and as uncomfortable as it is sometimes, you've got to sit there. You've got to sit in a room with people and tell them how you feel. So I've come a long way, and I have to... That's with the help of a lot of other people and the willingness to want to do something different with my life.
Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode is in the studio with us. You have a ring in your scrotum.
I hope you were strung out on dope when you got that done. You didn't do that consciously, did you?
You know what? I wasn't, and it really hurt.
Yeah.
Well, no duh, Dave. What a surprise.
Like, you know, I do pain really good, actually. You know.
So, what's
but
the process?
It's not actually in my scrotum. It's called the geesh, and it's the guy, you know, that little bit in between.
Yeah. That doesn't make it sound any less painful, though.
You know, I'm all fours, and I got a 10, 9, 8, 7, 6... Bang! It was like somebody kicked me really, really
hard.
And
you did that on purpose.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And are you glad?
I own that.
Now, do you still have it there?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
does and
it?
It's a lot of fun.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a comfort thing. It's when you're a little kid and you've got something, the little piece of cloth that you carry around with you everywhere, or your pacifier or whatever. Well, I have my geesh.
Dave. And that's a comfort thing for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is. Hey, if you can do that, you can do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. No kidding. I guess that's true. All right, we have a bunch of people who have been calling and are on hold, and we want to get to some calls here for Dave Gahan while we have him for a few more minutes. The K-Rock listeners, this is your big chance. First chance to talk to Dave in years. It's been years since you've been on K-Rock, I think.
Yes, it has.
Darren, hello. You're on.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
I was going to find out. The last couple albums have had kind of changed a little bit. And I mean, it's a good change, but I was calling to find out what bands influenced you as far as the direction that Depeche Mode has gone. And was it directly you, or did you have an effect on Martin and the rest of the band, or?
That's a good question. And I tell you, when we all met up together to make Songs of Faith and Devotion, I'd been living out here for a while, and I'd been very kind of excited by particularly one band, Jane's Addiction.
Ah.
And what I was excited about that was there was these four guys that were like these four different tornadoes that were all coming together, and I hadn't seen that since I went to see The Clash when I was like 15 years old and looked up and went, wow, you know, I could do that, you know, and if I could get three other people to join in with me, this could be amazing. You know, it was happening right there, and I went back with this attitude was like, yeah, obviously the rest of the band are going to feel exactly like I do, and you know what? They didn't. So, they were quite happy with the way it all was, and I wanted to turn it on its head and do something that it wasn't. I think that we had to do what we did with Songs of Faith and Devotion. I love that album, and we all do. It was kind of a step. Ultra is more of a natural follow-on, really, to Violator, really. But I think what's happened is now, you know, we've got to this place where we're very comfortable with what we are. We've accepted what we do and what we are. And
you're good at it too.
And yeah,
you're doing what you're best at.
That was hard for me. I can't really say that. It's very difficult. I have this self-worth problem.
No, but it's true though. You go, hey, you know what? This is the kind of music we do. We love it, and we're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
So this is what we want to do, rather than try to change because somebody else does.
Well, right.
I might add that y'all's band has been. There's never been a band like y'all's, and I mean, there's never been a sound like y'all's, and I mean that totally came out in Songs of Faith and Devotion. And, I mean, I think that's just amazing.
Hey, Darren?
Yes?
You have a bar in your nuts?
No, I do not.
Right. Hey, Dave can fix you up. Yeah, that's what I hear, too.
Thanks for calling. Hey, Big Ted.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Ted's downstairs in the lobby with a group of people that have come to see Dave.
Tell them, and I hate to break their hearts, but Dave is leaving via helicopter off the top of the building.
Oh, hey, guys, sorry. Dave's leaving from the top of the building in the helicopter.
Good read, Ted.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, hold on.
All right.
You're going to talk to one of the fans downstairs,
Dave. Okay.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, this is Kristen. I was just wondering, a lot of fans have commented that you're working with a vocal coach has really been a great thing on this album.
Yes.
And I was wondering how you really felt about doing it for the first time.
At first, I resented the hell out of it because the idea was put to me, and I was like, hey, wait a minute, you know, I can sing. I don't need to be taught anything. I know it all, but you know what? It's just not true. Because you never stop learning in life. You never stop learning. And it was great. It was a wonderful lady called Evelyn Hallis who lives here in Los Angeles. And she helped me to bring back like a lot of kind of self-worth and like confidence that I had lost. I just didn't know where to find it. You know, it wasn't so much that I didn't have the ability to sing or anything. It was like I couldn't find it inside my soul. I couldn't feel it in my heart. It was
right.
Just I was just doing my job, and it didn't feel good. And so, you know, my advice to anybody out there is, you know, go back to school at any opportunity, you know, and learn more.
Right. Well, you sound phenomenal on it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. What do you expect the reaction to be to a new Depeche Mode album in 1997? A lot has changed in the last 4 years since your last one.
Well, we've just been around Europe for like the last month, and we're a bit in shock at the moment because it seems like people really like us at the moment. And it's usually an uphill battle, you know, in the beginning you've got an album, oh, not you guys again, why do you bother? You know, that kind of interview. And it hasn't been like that at all. It's been like, wow, this is a great soul record. This is, this is a mature record. We've heard that word a lot. I mean, you know, it is what it is in that you know, what I think we're comfortable with now is the fact that Depeche Mode is very much Martin Gore's songs and my voice. That combination is the way we get across the feeling that we do.
Right.
And everything else goes on around it, you know.
Well, you're, like any other band or artist, a victim of what's popular at the time. And I think the reaction to your record in 97 is probably better than it would have been had you come out with a record in 94 or 95, when all that you could get played on the radio, and K-Rock is as responsible for this as anybody, is rock and roll, is heavy guitars. That's what was happening. Now it's not.
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that, because we've been talking about that a lot as well over the last month. And the thing is, there's always everything there. I mean, we had a two most successful albums, being Violator and Songs of Faith and Devotion, while the so-called grunge rock, whatever you want to call it, was you know, the thing, mm-hmm. kind of thing, and we'd had our most successful tours and albums during that time. The other thing that we're very comfortable with now is the fact that Depeche Mode is basically an entity within itself,
right?
And we're really proud of that, you know. And it seems like, and now everybody's going to us, all these journalists, they talk to us and they say, wow, electronic music, it's really in. Isn't that good? Don't you feel like the grandfathers of it? And it, like, you know, so perhaps, you know, this is going to be the one. You know, what's the one? You know, we've had 17 years. We've been fortunate enough to have 17 years in this business where we couldn't have wished for more, basically.
Right.
You know, and our albums and our tours have just basically got that little bit more every time. It hasn't suddenly just kind of exploded overnight or anything. I mean, anybody here in LA especially, they, you know, we were playing at places like the Rose Bowl, and, you know, selling, we were doing tours at that time, playing to twice as many people as we were selling records. That happened for a long time. It took a long while for the records to catch up.
Right.
But what's different now is that radio and everything, and I switch on the radio now when I'm in New York or whatever, and, you know, what was so-called alternative music is now mainstream.
Sure.
Right.
What is alternative music? You know, it's just like, what's going on? And I think that the whole thing is now, like, think it's more accepted, you know. It's like what it is, and it's not this big like, whoa, I can't play that because that sound doesn't sound familiar, it doesn't sound like a guitar, it's not Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know. It doesn't really matter anymore, and I think that's healthy. I think a lot has changed in America over the years.
Let me ask you this, Dave. We were talking the other day when we were promoting the fact that you were going to be coming in about the last time Kevin and I saw you, which was at the Warehouse Record Store across from the Beverly Center about four or five
night.
Years ago. You remember much about that night?
A little scary.
20,000 people showed up at that in-store. Do you remember that?
That was insane.
Was that the worst in-store you ever did?
Or the best?
The best and the worst, you know? I mean, come on, let's be honest. I mean, it couldn't have been a better way to kind of like start the whole thing and let everybody know. You know, what was fantastic about it was it wasn't really planned that much. It was just, let's do an install, maybe a few hundred people turn up and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Oh, okay then, all right, yeah, I suppose so. You know, we thought it might be a bit of a Spinal Tap affair, you know.
Right.
It was very creepy for those of us at K-Rock, because, you know, all we knew was that Zev Yaroslavsky at the time was threatening to sue K-Rock till the end of time.
You know, we went back to the hotel afterwards, and we sat and we flipped through all the news channels, and it was like, you know, English rock band Depeche Mode tonight, stop the traffic. You know, it was pretty funny watching it all, you know. So
what are the great memories of working here at K-Rock? So you're not going to, you told us you don't plan on touring. Will you do any dates at all, or as far as you know, you're just gonna sit back and watch the album go?
We are actually going, after we finished in New York, we're going back to London, and we've got a little band together and stuff, and we're rehearsing some songs from the album, because what we might be doing is, when the album comes out, we might do a few what we call launch parties, where we will play a few songs from the new album.
One of them here.
One of them here in Los Angeles, probably one in New York, maybe London, Paris, or whatever. Just a few, you know, a handful of these things.
Some you can control.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And obviously we would like, you know, some fans to... It might be something that we can do later on when the album comes out. We could do some kind of competition or something, and, you know...
You just don't want to get on the treadmill, that's all.
You know what? I just want you guys to play our music. And you know, it would be nice to do that. It's a scary thing at the moment. I don't know why that is, but the idea of going out on the road, and it's not those 2 hours on stage, that's wonderful. It's the other 22. You know, being in a band like this, it's been 17 years. You know, that's like Charlie Watts from The Stones said it right. It's like that's 5 years of work and the rest is waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you're very smart to follow your heart on that too. The last thing you want to do is get in trouble again.
That's yeah, and it happens time and time again to some other of my fellow musicians.
Exactly. Hey, the cop from the Village People was just arrested with cocaine over the weekend. I mean,
no lie.
Yes, he was.
There is no one who is immune. Because if he goes down, man, anyone
the
can go down.
The cop from the Village People. Oh my God.
Busted with cocaine. Well, Dave Gahan, thank you for being on K Rock again. As always, I know
thank
you go back
you
a long
much.
Way with K Rock, and there's always a place for your music on this station.
Thanks,
so it's
man.
Great to see you again.
Right, thanks you. Guys.
So glad you're doing so well, too.
Cheers. Thank you.
That was Dave Gahan. Who was it, Bugs?
Dave gone.
Okay.
Dave's gone?
See you.
Dave's
see
gone, man.
Dave's
see
gone.
See you next time.
Bye.
Okay. What?
No.
What?
Dave gone.